grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us, this day that you've blessed us with. Touch our hearts and our minds with your word, because it is the word of God and it brings life and restoration to us today. Meet every need in this place according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Pull somebody in to know you and to love you and to see who you are in their life. Give them hope in this place today. We thank you for those things that you have given us, and we thank you for the things that you have not given us, because we wouldn't be able to handle it. Thank you for keeping us from things seen and unseen. Now bless this word, cause it to cut between the bone and marrow of our life, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. For we asked it in Jesus' name, we thank God. Amen. I probably need a Bible, don't I? Barbara, would you give me my Bible?
I want to see you do it from memory.
You do?
Yeah.
Keep on wanting that. I want to talk about survivors today. Survivors. Thank you. Survivors. Because when I look around this body of believers, I see a bunch of okay, the instructions for the day is this is not Pat, so you can talk back to me, okay? And if you talk back to me, then I won't talk to myself and we'll get out of here in a few minutes, okay? When I look around church, I see a bunch of, there we go, when'd y'all come in? I think it is very, very unkind for our pastor to start a study, a book in the Bible, and then go to Israel.
Without us.
What y'all think about that? Anybody here last week? Oh, he did? Okay, all right. Is anybody here last week? What book were we in? Huh? Samuel. Just started Samuel. It was a horrible story. Penina and Hannah. Penina, the wife who had kids, and Hannah, the wife who did not have kids, and the husband loved her very well, loved her a whole lot. Loved her so much that he had to go to Hannah and say, Hannah, am I not enough for you? Am I not enough than 10 sons? And I looked at that and I said, he's stupid. I don't know about you men, if you've ever had a wife or something when she's crying and stuff, you probably should not be telling her to answer. You should say, there, there, honey, we'll go kill them all. As soon as you tell me who it is, there, there, honey. Because the minute that you open up your mouth, you say something stupid like what he said. But I was thinking about Penina and Hannah, his wife. And sometimes we have situations in our life where we are Penina and we are Hannah. Penina being the one who was just, well, what do we call it today? Bullying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a familiar word today. Penina was the bully and Hannah was the person being bullied. Penina had kids and Hannah didn't have kids. They were married to the same dude. And at that particular time, if you didn't have kids and you were barren, you were just, well, we don't even talk about it. Because she was like, here comes Hannah. Hannah don't have no kids. Don't say nothing about kids because here comes Hannah. And what would Penina do? She would say, how's your kids? You know, bullying, bullying. A few weeks ago, Pastor Pat took us to a place that most of us don't like, or just me, because I can't speak to you. He talked about abuse and being abused, and we took beans of different colors, and we put them in the bag, and he kind of brought up some stuff. I don't know about you, but he brought up some stuff in my life. And the ironic thing that I was thinking about is that at times I have been abused, and at times I have been the wow. At times I have been And sometimes I have been the, sounds like Penina and Hannah. So sometimes I got the spirit of Penina, sometimes I got the spirit of Hannah. And I had to really dig deep, and, you know, I really don't come to church for, you know, deep stuff and all that operation and, you know, being better when you go out. Can't we just sing Amazing Grace, give them a couple of dollars and eat some chicken? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. So God began to speak to me about what I see in you as being survivors. Now, when we talk about abuse, it brings up a whole lot of stuff to a whole lot of people. So in this place, I'm assuming that people have been abused, and sometimes people have been abusers. But I want to talk about getting over that and surviving that. Because in this place, I see a whole lot of, well, one person's awake. In this place, I see a whole lot of, come on, just talk to me a little bit and we get out of here, okay? If you'll go to Genesis, the 33rd chapter. Genesis, the 33rd chapter. So, I have a staff of people who are probably under 11 years old, my pastoral staff, that I would meet with every Sunday morning for Sunday school or either children's church. And sometimes, well, most of the times, I'm going to admit that, most of the times when I'm up to preach, I will run a sermon thought through them. And it's not, it's just wonderful having assistants who don't have filters. Kids. Because they'll just tell you like it is. So our verses today, we're in Genesis, but I want to talk to the survivors about in everything give thanks. From 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. And there's a dot, dot, dot in between there because they told me, as I was asking them about giving thanks, I asked them how you do that, and I gave them some bad scenarios. And one of my assistants said, count it all joy. From James, the 1st chapter and the 2nd verse. In everything, give thanks, dot, 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 count it all joy. Now, if you're under 11 years old, that's kind of cool. But if you're almost not 11, those dot, dot, dots are a problem to you. Because those dot, dot, dots is when you learn how to survive. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. And then the dot, 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 that time, your life. Because we are living at the speed of life. We are living at the speed of life. When you make a plan, then you have to live it out. And then stuff happens. And you survive that stuff. And if you survive that stuff, you can, help me, count it all joy. In everything gives, and then you can, y'all can come to my Sunday school class and help me with the next sermon. If you can, in everything, give thanks, you can dot, 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 count it all joy. That's what makes you a survivor. We're in Genesis, the 33rd chapter, because this is a good example of a Penina-Hannah situation. Being bullied, being abused, and sometimes being an abuser, and then counting it all joy because something's about to hit the fan. Y'all with me? I was thinking, you know, as I was growing up, and let me tell you what my abusee situation was. Till about the age of 13, I was kind of chubby, but short. And I don't know about you, but how many of you all had class pictures in elementary school taken with everybody in rows? Raise your hand. Look around. Y'all got to look around now because you're kind of dating yourself. None of this digital stuff where you come with the pose and you wear your costume and stuff and you get three poses and stuff like that. I was always on the front row. Y'all know what that means, right? Now, that was not the time for you to talk back. Height challenge. Always on the front row with my legs folded, wishing I was on the last row, standing tall. So I went through that, and I was picked on because all black men can't jump. I can run, can't jump. So in sports, I had nobody to, you know, challenge me to be athletic or anything. So I was picked on all the time. And pick. I don't even know how I survived because, you know, kids are jumping off of bridges and hanging themselves when you call them ugly now. Know what I'm saying? So I don't know how I survived. So I got to that point where I wasn't going to take it no more. I was fighting on the playground every day till they just called me crazy. You don't want none of that. Because he's crazy. If he said he's going to fight you, just you run. Okay? He's short and fat, but he's in it. He's in it to win it. He's in it to win it. So then I found out that I had a gift. I could cuss. They all right. I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm delivered from that. I could cuss. And I could cuss you out so bad, you didn't want none of this. They would go get me and pay me to cuss somebody out. I found my gift. And I became the abuser. Hello? See how easy that is? I became the abuser. Because I can make you cry. Little fat boy can make you cry. And you didn't want none of that because I was ready to fight. I make you cry, I was ready to fight. Sometimes Penina, sometimes Hannah. But through it all, I survived. So I don't know what you thought about that sermon about being abused or being the abuser. But realize that both of those people and both of those situations are covered by the blood and put at the foot of the cross. Hello? They're covered by the blood and they're put at the foot of the cross. But in between that, we got to get over some of that stuff. Because when we don't get over that stuff, we're stuck on stupid. Did I say stupid? We're kind of in a place of not moving. Is that better? You're stuck on stupid. You're just stuck on stupid. Because some of those things we carry around with them. Anybody been flying lately? There's the Marines. There's the Army. There's the Navy, there's the Coast Guard, there's the Air Force, and there is the TSA. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather mess with a Marine than mess with one of those persons in those blue uniforms. Because I'm telling you, you're not getting through giving them all of this. I don't care how many times you've been. I don't care what first class and what club you belong to. If they tell you to take it off, what do? If they tell you to walk slow, what do? If they tell you that's more than 3 ounces, guess what? Because you ain't going nowhere. And they come in all sizes and shape. And I don't like them. I just go there. I don't go naked, but it's almost naked. I'm holding my pants up. I'm sliding on my socks, and I'm doing whatever they tell me because they have that kind of authority in our life. And I think sometimes the things that we don't get over have that kind of pull and authority in our life, and we can't survive if we're stuck on stupid. You just can't survive. You can't move. So let's look a little bit at Genesis, the 33rd chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse. Have you got it? Read along with me. Now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maidservants. That means dude had four wives. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his knees and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" And he said, "The children whom God has graciously given you, your servant." Then the maidservants came near and their children and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterwards, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. Then Esau said, "What do you mean by all the company which I met?" And he said, "These are they to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." I'm hoping that everybody's familiar with the story and account of Esau and Jacob. Twins. Esau is the older brother. He comes out first. And lo and behold, there's somebody holding on to his leg, coming out second, the heel grabber. And as they grow up, Esau is a hunter, and Jacob just hangs around the house kind of like a mama's boy. But they're twins. And father favors the hunter, Esau. He has this little thing that he does for his dad when he hunts, like Jeff and Danny. He cooks them up something real good. So they have this little thing going on, and Jacob and his mom has this little thing going on. But then something happens one day that Esau comes and he's real hungry, and Jacob has his stew, and you know, and I'm thinking like they're playing. And he says, "I'm about to die. Give me the stew." And he said, "Give me your birthright." And he says, "Okay." And he eats the stew, and things just goes upside down from then on. So mom and Jacob decide, you know, we got to seal the deal on this thing, because, you know, y'all playing and you're just talking about the stew and stuff, and he says that he gave you the birthright. Why don't you cook that stew that Jeff and Danny cooks and give it to your dad? And Jacob's kind of smart. He says, "He'll know, because I don't stink and I'm not hairy." Because that's what his brother was, because he's out in the woods and stuff, and he's hairy and stuff. And he said, "Well, listen, put on your fur coat. Get animal skin. Dad's kind of old and he can't see. And let's do this thing." So he goes in, he gives Dad the stew, and Dad's no dummy. He says, "You know what? You don't stink like you used to stink. But I'm smelling that stew." And Jacob says, "Well, can you bless me?" And he says, "Sure, Esau." "Are you sure you're Esau?" "Yes, Dad, I'm Esau." And he gets the blessing. When Esau comes home and finds out what goes on, and the last thing that Jacob hears from Esau is that, I'm going to kill you. You know, that's how brothers do, twins and stuff like that. I'm going to kill you. So mom has sense enough to say, listen, son, you got a Greyhound ticket, and you need to go back and see some of my people. So he gets the Greyhound ticket. Oh, that's 60 for you. And he goes and he sees some of his father's people, his cousins and stuff. And he meets up with this dude who's kind of his uncle. You know, these folks, you know, from what Pastor Pat told us, they were kind of close and stuff. So he meets up with his uncle and he sees his cousin and he wants to marry his cousin because she is fine. She's fine. She might be redhead. Cute, see? Just like that. And he meets the cuz, and he goes to the uncle, and he says, can I marry your daughter? He says, sure. It's a good thing, all in the family. What a deal. So he says, yeah, but the one that he wants to marry, y'all got to stay with me because this is real messed up, okay? The one that he wants to marry has an older sister. Now, you'd think that he would already know that if you got an older sister and a younger sister, who gets married first? Older sister. You think he would know, but she was fine. She was so fine that he forgot. He said, look at here, look at here. Nephew, if you work 7 years, you can have her. 7 years went by just like that. And it was a wedding night. But you all know that if you have an older sister and a younger sister, who gets married first? Well, I tell you what, you don't know under the dress. She had on Vera Wang. She was just, it was just awesome. It was just like out of Glamour and Vogue and Cosmopolitan. And dude had worked 7 years, so all he was thinking about was honeymoon. Honeymoon. So they got some of that communion that was kind of fermented. And they went into the tent, consummated the marriage, and he pulled up the veil, and guess who? Do you think you could survive that? Do you think that was fair? Because sometimes life isn't. Hello? Sometimes life isn't. Sometimes life just isn't. Now listen, I need you to understand what I'm saying when I say fair. You get a car, I get a car. Is that? No? Whatever kind of car you want, you can have a truck. I know you like trucks. You get whatever kind of vehicle you want. Is that fair? You get a house, I get a house. Whatever kind of house you want, is that fair? You get a fat bank account, I get a fang bank account. Is that fair? You get cancer? No. Because that ain't. All right, y'all good with fair? All right, so he says, father-in-law, look, you done bamboozled me. That's a new word from old people, bamboozled. It means they cheated him. He said, okay, listen, nephew, son-in-law. Work 7 more years and you can have a pretty girl who's fine. And he said, yeah. So they worked a deal. That's 14 years. Would you hold out for anything for 14 years? Hello? Anybody here? Would you trust God to do something for you that you've asked him for 14 years? Listen, y'all in church. Quit lying. Could you survive 14 years of something that you did not like or didn't think was fair? Hello, 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 hello. I know I'm. Absolutely. Cross my heart, hope to live. Okay. You could do that. But could you have joy? Could you, in everything in those 14 years, give thanks? And then could you count it all joy? Yeah, but it's hard. Because sometimes in those 14 years, we get stuck on stupid. I know it came up again. We get stuck on stupid because God has been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I see everybody else prospering, doing the things that they want. I compare. I complain. I compete. I criticize. But I'm still, you know, holding you to your promise. But I compete, I complain, I compare, I criticize. But I'm still wanting you to do exactly what you said. Because whether or not you like it, God, I'm going to survive. I'm not going to have any joy in this thing. Because it's a real thing, and it really hurts and stuff. Okay, so back to the days of our life. All right, 14 years up. Jacob has a bunch of kids. Him and Laban are okay. And they strike out on 6 more years of hard labor. 20 years. Working for a man who's bamboozled you in a place that you don't want to be. You've prospered more than him. His folks don't like you. And God says to you this: get up and go back home to the place that I promised you. Because you remember that Abraham is the heir to the promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Jacob. This is Jacob. Liar Jacob, thief Jacob, bamboozled Jacob. God speaks to him and says, go back to the place. He says, okay. But Laban's not going to like it. He says, get up and go. And he gets up and he goes in the middle of the night. And his wife, Leah and Rachel, kind of want to take on some memorabilia. Memorabilia, better known as idols. I don't know about you, but God said something about idols. Anybody know? Yeah. Leave that stuff there. Pack everything else. You don't need no idols. Idols will make the little thing, metal detector, go beep.
Yeah.
And Laban waits a couple of days and say, you know, they're not coming to dinner or nothing. And who's watching the sheep? And he goes after them. And the thing that he asked for is idols. Don't care about his daughters or the grandkids or all the sheep and goat and money that's going away. But this is about the idols. Kind of seems like he's stuck on stupid. Doesn't find the idols. So Jacob says, God, you promised that my descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea and stuff. But I need to go back to my homeland, and there's somebody there who might remember that I abused them just a little bit by taking their birthright. And I remember that the last time that we talked, he said, he's going to kill me. I'm kind of responsible for all these people behind me and all this stuff. But you said go. And God, I'm going to trust you with the go, which is the dot, 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 that will cause me to survive. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to split them up just in case. Leah, you and your kids go here. Rachel, you and your kids go here. The other two wives, you and your kids go here. And we're going to kind of creep in on them. Because if I was right, kill still means kill. But God, if you do this, I'll serve you forever. if you do this one thing. Because I remember that 20 years ago, I was on the run. And you're just that kind of God who could keep me for 20 years. And look what you've done. My problem is how you've blessed me. And will I keep that blessing? Because I've survived. By just listening and holding on to your promise. Life has passed me by. And I've survived. I've survived the third. I thought he was going to come after me because, you know, you take somebody's birthright, and your brother says he's going to kill you. He might find you. And kill you. But God, you've been that good to me. So I want to know if that was good enough for Jacob. Is that good enough, still good enough for us today? So when we look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse and everything, give thanks. I thought instantly, God in everything? Because, you know, a lot of people struggle with this three-letter word, all. All. When God says that he wants all in his word, how much does he want? How about 50%? You know, I like to barter. And today, you can go on the internet and get a coupon for anything. So I want to know, is there a discount when God says all? Can y'all help me with that? What does he really mean? What is the manufactured suggested retail price of all? All. When God says everything, he means everything. Well, Pastor, does that mean when I've been abused? Pastor, does that mean when I've been an abuser? It's kind of all. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus has paid it all. There goes that word again. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm wondering, between in everything give thanks, dot, 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 you come to the point where you can count it all joy. What happens every day to us in our life that makes us stagnated and stuck on stupid? Well, for me, I forget to do this. I forget to tell God, thank you. Thank you for what? Everything. Everything? Oh, all things. Why am I thanking you for all things? Because all things work together. Anybody read the Bible? For the good of them who are called according to his purpose. So this thing is kind of fixed. And that's why I can count it all joy. So while I'm saying thank you, maybe I want to worship him. Even in everything. And then maybe I want to begin to praise him, even in everything. And I don't know about you, but the first word I said was thank you, because thank you makes room for more. Have you all ever said thank you for something? And all of a sudden people wanted to do more for you? Now, if you're stuck on stupid, which is not necessarily stupid, it might just be where you're at. When you get to count it all joy, it'll kind of be stupid. But if you're in that place where you can't seem to see God, hear God, feel God, or even know him because things are awry in your life and you haven't seen the outcome that you want in your life? Have you ever thought that God is still there with you? Even as Jacob was seeing Esau come with his arms wide open, he was kind of thinking, you know, this is it. I got to pay. He is going to kill me. And this dude says, where you been? Now to me, I'm saying, you mean I could have done this 20 years ago and everything would have been all right? No, where you been? I'm glad. And what is all this stuff that you're bringing with you? You're traveling so heavy. These gifts are for you. I need to pay you back because I abused you. I took these things from you. I took your birthright. And Esau is saying this. I'm fat and happy. Everything's cool. What I'm going to do with this stuff? I got so much stuff because the same God that has blessed you has blessed me. Somewhere along the line, I found out that in everything, I'm going to give thanks. Everything you've done to me was to bring me to this point where I could count it all joy. And the only thing I want to do is actually hug you and say thank you for what you did. But I took your birthright. Yes, you did. But God had a plan and a purpose for everything that happened in my life. Do you think today that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that's happening in your life today? If it is true, I'm going to challenge me and you because, you know, sometimes I forget to say thank you for everything. See, I do. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Because you know my beginning and my ending. But it's kind of intimidating to stand up here and say that when I'm not going through what you're going through. But I know that the same God that I'm thanking for my stuff is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that you can ask or even think of when you cast your cares upon him. Because all have fallen short of the glory of God. And he, whatever he does for me, he'll do for you. But you know what? He may not do it when you want to do it. But whenever he does it, it's on time. And that's how we survive. So that's how I can sit here and say, I see a bunch of survivors. Not like the TV program where they drop you off on the island with a package of ketchup and one change of underwear. And you have to stay there and beat everybody else down so you can get the $1 million. I want you to be my witness. I really don't want to be on Survivor because I wouldn't last the first day. Okay, I'd be swimming or walking back home with a bear's head in my hand and a lion's cloth on my back saying, I quit. I give up. And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? When life gets us down and God has not answered our prayer the way that we think that he should. But in everything, give thanks. So you remember last week when Pastor was talking about Hannah and stuff? Old crazy Hannah at the temple crying out to God, and they thought she was drunk. And Eli comes by and says, listen, baby, you can't be doing that in here in church. What are you doing? Are you drunk? No, I'm just crying out to God because I'm barren. And stuff like, well, go ahead on. Do what you do. And a year later, she has Samuel. And I think it's ironic that the very thing that she prayed for, she had to give up. All right, saints, did that very thing she prayed for, she had to give up. And she gave up. Gave him to Eli. And every year she would come with his little new suit, his little serving suit. And she had to visit the very thing that she was praying for, but did not have. And Eli the priest, even though his family was jacked up, saw her and would bless her. And guess what? I don't know if that's a blessing. I'm like, she had 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. From zero to hero, just like that. And I believe that she got to the point where she could give thanks for everything. That's how deep that is for all things. And that dot, 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 at the end, she counted it all joy. Y'all, come on, we got to go get this thing to Samuel. That boy is growing. I tell you. So is there something in your life that you need to begin to give thanks for, even though it's hard? Even though it's not fair. Even though you complain about it. Even though you compare yourself to other people. Even though you get criticized for it. Is there something that you need to begin to thank God for? So you can let go of that thing that has you bound and open up your hand for the blessing that he has for you. Because you realize when you hold on to stuff, you can't get blessed. Y'all got it? You want to do it one time? Hold on to it. Come on. Come on. With your hands. Take your hands and do this. Just do this. How can God bless you? He needs that. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness in this place today. Cause your word to be real in our life. Cause us to experience what Jacob experienced when he obeyed your word and he went back and he found that Esau had his hands wide open and he received your promise from that point on. It became very real in his life. We know that 20 years is a hard thing to do. God, when will you come and answer our prayer? But in the meantime, we will thank you. We will praise you. We will worship you. We will give you all the honor and glory. And we will lean on that promise that you've given us, that everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. We believe that this is only a temporary situation, that if we don't receive what we need and what we're asking for on this side of heaven, you have much more. God, touch the hearer today, that they might know Christ and receive Christ. Free us up to praise you and worship you as we leave this place today. Bless the food that's been prepared. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless the fellowship that we're going to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's eat.